I'll be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in our hearts and in our thinking. God be at our end and at our departing. Amen. Out of the night, where hope had died, two tomb once sealed, now gaping wide. The Magdalene made haste to mourn and bring her spices through the door. She gazed in disbelief and pain where Jesus in his death had lain, until the radiant angel said, "Seek not the living with the dead." Soon, trusting love cast out her fears, she rose and brushed away her tears. As first apostle, Mary ran to tell God's resurrection plan. "Jesus is risen," Mary cries, "lift up your hearts and dry your eyes. Jesus is risen, come and see," and goes before to Galilee. All glory be to God above, for Mary's apostolic love. All praise to God whom we adore, forever and forevermore. Amen. I've got a sermon this morning that I hope will appeal to all our senses. So there's sound. I'm also going to do a bit of talking. There's a bit more sound there as well. But I've got some thoughts on sight, touch, taste and smell as we reflect for a few moments on the life and work and example of Mary Magdalene. There are 13 verses in the Gospels which mention Mary Magdalene. Now most of these verses and passages are in relation to the story of the crucifixion of Jesus and of the resurrection of Jesus. Kate has read for us perhaps the longest passage that includes an account of Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Mary seems to have been one of Jesus' most celebrated disciples, and she is particularly famous, according to Mark and John's Gospel, for being the first person to see the resurrected Christ. Now, somebody had to be first, I suppose, but it is remarkable in some ways that it was Mary Magdalene. Now, what's more remarkable to me, and I can't give you an answer to this, but you might imagine that the first person to see the risen Christ would have been even more famous than Mary Magdalene seems to come across in the Gospels. So I don't know what that means, but I think it's a striking thing. If we trust the Gospels and what they tell us, then we might imagine them be unchallenged facts about Mary Magdalene are that she had been cleansed or healed, or however you want to understand it, by Jesus. According to Luke's Gospel and Mark's Gospel, she had had seven demons cast out of her, to use the language of the time. She'd been healed, cured of something, we're not quite sure exactly what, something that was oppressing her, making her life very difficult. She was freed from that. And the experience was clearly very powerful, changed some of the directions of her life and caused her to follow Jesus very closely and to become a key member of the early Christian community. She was one of the women who accompanied and aided Jesus in the region of Galilee, the northern part of Israel. And all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, say that she was a witness to Christ's crucifixion. She is named, and also a witness to his burial. And John further tells us that she stood by the cross near Jesus' mother, another Mary, and the apostle whom Jesus loved. And we're also told, just to repeat it in case we've missed it, that having seen where Jesus was buried, she went with, say, two other women early on that Easter morning to do something very practical, to anoint the body, to anoint the corpse in the manner of the burial customs of the Jews. And then finding the tomb empty, she ran to the disciples, telling them the body of Jesus was no longer there, returned to the empty tomb, where, according to John, Christ appeared to her. She confused him at first for the gardener, but when he spoke her name, she recognized him. Many artists have painted depictions of Mary Magdalene, and not all of them, but quite a few of them, include some symbolism of her, and very commonly she's depicted with a container or a pot or a vial or a jar, symbolic of those spices and the anointing of the body of Jesus. Now, beyond what we can read of her in the Bible, people have differed in their opinions that there are various Marys mentioned in the Gospels. It was a fairly common name. And some people have said, oh, well, that's talking about Mary Magdalene, and others have disagreed. One of the early church leaders and fathers, a man called Origen, he tended to view her as distinct from Mary of Bethany, who's another character in the Gospels. She was the one who anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. But others have said, well, no, that's Mary Magdalene. Some also confuse her with the penitent woman whose sins Jesus pardoned for anointing him in a similar fashion. In the Eastern churches, they distinguish between these three women, but thanks, or maybe not thanks, to Pope Gregory the Great and a sermon he gave in 591, Mary Magdalene has long been associated with being a sinner, by which we mean that's a euphemism for prostitute, who was forgiven by Jesus and came to follow him following her forgiveness. But more recently, this has been demonstrated just not to be substantiated from what we can actually read in the Gospels. So very often she's been depicted as the scarlet woman, so she's often in red, occasionally depicted in a state of slight undress. But it's not really fair that she should never have been tarnished with that particular opinion about her. You can't really find that in the Gospels. What you can find is that she was healed, transformed by that experience into becoming a disciple of Jesus, and was there at the crucifixion and the resurrection. And because she went to tell the other disciples, her title, which is a title of great esteem, she's sometimes known as the Apostle to the Apostles. So much for some sounds. Now, some sights. Well, you've got to use your imagination, because in all the excitement of this morning, I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring you my painting, which I did from the Stations of the Cross. And Station 15 is a depiction of the empty tomb. And you may recall this, but I'll tell you what it looks like, so you can use your imaginations. It's a bit of wood. It's about 16 inches long, about 8 inches high, painted quite dark grey, black. And to the right-hand side, cut in the wood panel, is a kind of similar shape to our porch door, rounded top. And then just to the left of it, stuck onto the panel, is a circle that's kind of rolled away from the entrance. So it depicts the empty tomb. So it's a bit of wood with a hole in it. All right? And that was my depiction of the empty tomb and the resurrection. So you can see what I was trying to do there, I hope. There's nothing in it. And Mary Magdalene's experience of arriving at that tomb was that it was empty initially. And I think that needs to be part of our understanding of the resurrection. Because in this, wherever we look for Christ, he's not there. You can't sort of pin him down there. But whenever we look to the resurrection, it's like we look, you know, it's the beginning of the future every moment, and a new future. So I could hold my panel up, you know, at different times, different days, different places, and look through it to what there is there. And I think there's something about the resurrection that needs to be that for us too as Christians. Every moment we can look through the experience of the resurrection to the future that's about to begin. And be transformed by it, just like Mary Magdalene was. Now, if that's far too abstract for you, and if you like looking at images, the stained glass window in our church in the tower up there, if you've ever been up there, maybe you'd like to go and have a look, is another more stylized, realistic in some ways, but still devotional interpretation of the resurrection. So maybe go and have a look at that if that's more your thing. So that's some thoughts about sight. Now, touch. Well, a couple of thoughts here. There's a peculiar little incident in this story of Mary finding the empty tomb and then recognizing Jesus when he says Mary to her. According to the narrative, she goes to touch him. I'm not quite sure how. Whether to embrace him or just touch him to see if he's real. A little bit of uncertainty about exactly what's going on there. But Jesus says, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." There are many people who have attempted to work out what's going on here. I mean, for what it's worth, the interpretation I favour is that it's about not being kind of stuck in the moment. So the sense of don't touch me is, you know, don't cling to me, don't hang on to me. Don't hang on to me, really. And get on with telling people that I'm alive. I think that's the sense of it. And I think we need to have that about our faith as well. It's so easy to become clingy to things. We need constantly to be open to the possibility of getting on with life and the new possibilities that there are. Talk about touch in a minute. Taste. Well, we're in a communion service. And we don't know anything about Mary Magdalene's place in the early Christian community particularly, but you know, surely she was among that community which established the practice of meeting regularly, breaking bread, and sharing wine in remembrance of the passion and the death of Christ. And we continue that tradition. And I think we can imagine today that Mary joins us in our worship, in the mystical presence of our Saviour, as we receive his sacrament of remembrance and forgiveness. And the sacrament being the outward and visible sign of the inward and invisible grace of Christ with us. That was something which, in her own way, Mary Magdalene did with those early disciples. And it's something we continue today. So when we come to the rail or remain in our seats, whichever is most convenient, take the bread, take the wine. That's something Mary did as well, in her own way. And we are part of the same risen Lord Jesus and his Spirit among us. So much for taste. Smell, well, I don't know what you're going to make of this. I was thinking, what can we do with that anointing that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to conduct? And then I thought, well, there is something we might be able to do, actually. What I propose to offer this morning, which is a bit different, but it's not a big thing, but I think it's going to be a good thing and a holy thing. I want to offer an anointing to everybody, and the way I want to do that is to use what's called holy chrism oil. Now, a holy chrism is a mixture of olive oil and a fragrance, usually a balsam fragrance, which is a symbol of the sweetness of Christian virtue. And each year in the dioceses around our nation and around the world even, it's a global Christian phenomenon, the use of this oil. A new batch is blessed during Holy Week. A few months ago at Guildford Cathedral, I went to the service on Maundy Thursday, and I collected some chrism. There's also some oil that we use for baptisms. We use that regularly, so you've probably seen that in action here. And there's another kind of oil that's used in the ministry of healing. But we don't really use the oil of chrism, even though I dutifully collect one each year. So I thought, well, why don't we use that? It's a slightly fragrant olive oil. Not very powerful. I don't think you'll find it offensive in any way. And what I'd like to do, if you want to, you've got to, but when you come up for communion, I'd just like to smear a little oil on your hand, you know, as you put your hands up for the bread. Okay, so don't be alarmed. If I'm just stroking your hand, it's a good thing. And I'll just put a little oil on there. And, you know, maybe we can just get a little fragrance there. Remind us of Mary Magdalene and what she did for Christ. But also, just remind us that we're all sanctified and made holy by the presence of God in our lives. We're touched, we're anointed to serve him as apostles, as people who can speak about the risen Christ to the world and to live out to the good news of Christ. So it's just a little sign that might be helpful. So that's smell. So, sound. I sang a song about Mary, told you a bit about her. Sight, empty tomb, use our imagination. Look at the window. Touch, don't hang on. Keep moving. Taste, our regular feeding on the presence of the risen Christ. And smell, that anointing of the oil. Maybe one of those senses will mean more to you than the others. But let's remember Mary today. Be inspired by her example. And I think the most important thing is to understand how our lives are being transformed by Christ. And if that's a good story, and hopefully it is, that's worth sharing, isn't it? In whatever way we can. And involving other people in that possibility. Amen.